Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, please. Luke, chapter 19. Verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Each of the gospel records has an outstanding text that we would often think of in preaching the gospel. Each of the gospel records has its own presentation, likewise, of the Lord Jesus. So that it's interesting to me that when you think of a servant who was God's eternal Son, think of a servant who was God's eternal Son, who was busily engaged in His service, the text that we would choose from Mark's Gospel, which is telling us of the Lord Jesus in His busy, devoted, highly motivated service, the text that we would preach from Mark's Gospel is this: what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There was something that was burning deep in the heart of the Lord Jesus. It is this: this great matter of the life of the soul is a priority. There is nothing of greater importance in our world. And the Lord Jesus was busily devoted to seeking to reach men and women, to impress upon them the value of their soul, and to cause them to realize their need to have salvation, so that their soul would not be lost. Matthew's Gospel is the word of the King, the Sovereign of Israel, the one who was born King of the Jews. And a favorite Gospel text from the Gospel according to Matthew is the invitation of the Sovereign. As He is calling to men and women, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Wonderful to me to realize that a king who had power with his words is not commanding men and women to come, but he invites them. And he tells them upon their response to his invitation, they will have rest. He will absolutely guarantee them peace and rest if they will only come to him. I can tell you tonight that we are preaching the gospel of a Savior who's inviting you. A Savior who longs tonight to bring you to Himself. And His word is absolutely trustworthy. He says tonight, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's no question that from John's gospel, we are listening to the words of God's beloved Son. So that it's so interesting to me that the Son of God will tell us what no man would ever know, that God so loved the world. He knows the heart of God, and He conveys to men and women the heart of God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the gospel according to Luke, from which we have read tonight, as Luke records the record of the birth and ministry and suffering and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, Luke is telling us about a man who came to be the Savior. And in these lovely words that we have read tonight, we have Luke's favorite gospel text. That is, this is the text that embodies the good truth. Where did the Lord of all become a man? Where was the eternal God born a babe in Bethlehem's manger? Where did this one of perfect grace and kindness, so mistreated by men and so persistent in his mission, that when all seemed to be disinterested, he had only one mission in view? He was ever seeking after the souls of men and women. Listen to his own words. The Son of Man was come to seek and to save that which was lost. This then is our gospel text for the closing part of the meeting. This is taken from the words of the Lord Jesus himself. This is telling us the great truth that he who would hear came on a mission so clearly defined. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. As I envision this text, it's brief, it's word, or simple. I have in my mind's eye the picture of a library with books in it. And I have a few books at home in my study area, and I try to arrange them. Nobody else perhaps could make sense of the way I have them arranged, but I think I understand where to find what I want to find on certain subjects, on a subject where the books are, all together. Somehow, in the word that the Lord Jesus uses, we have a volume of truth that is given to us. And let me just turn you to the last word of our text tonight and suggest to you that the Lord Jesus in one word is giving us a telling commentary on man's need. He is gathering together the tremendous thought of the subject that the Bible speaks of. The Bible declares very clearly and plainly, man has a basic need in his relationship with God. There is something gone wrong between man and God, and here is a word that the Lord Jesus uses to describe man with a word. Lost. The Bible declares that men and women are lost. What a telling commentary that is on man's personal need in the sight of God. If you were to read up the chapter just a few verses from where we read, the Lord Jesus, you'll see in this text, is describing Zacchaeus, a publican, a man that was a bit on the dishonest side, apparently, and the people around him were quite incensed that this man, Jesus, had gone to be the guest of a man that is a... Now, this is the word they used to describe Nicodemus, sinner. Could I tell you that to be a sinner is a very serious charge? To be a sinner, it is not simply saying that there are a few things you have done in life. That's what these people meant, you know. They could tell a few things about Zacchaeus. Probably they would begin to buzz around among themselves the stories of what Zacchaeus had done. You know the man down the street down there? You should have seen what this Zacchaeus did. He was down to his house the other day, and he told that man that he owed the Roman government such and such amount of money. And when the man kind of hesitated to pay, he strong-armed the man, and he told him he would be in all kinds of difficulty. He threatened him. And when the man finally gave him what he was asking for, this chief tax gatherer, I saw him myself. He came walking down the lane with a big smile on his face, and when he got around the corner from where the man could see him, he took some of the money and put it in this pocket, and the rest of the money he put in the other pocket. He was pocketing more than half of it for himself. What a man he is. The sinner. They weren't going deep enough. They were judging the man by the acts that they saw. Could I tell you tonight that God judges men to be sinners because God knows their nature? And before you think tonight that this applies to a man like Zacchaeus, who apparently in the eyes of others would have been a dishonest man, a most despicable man, could I tell you tonight that in the eyes of God, every single one of us is a sinner. It is part of you just as much as talking is involved with human nature. Just as much as we are putting it poorly with account's nature. God associates with what you are. This soul charge sits in the sight of God. So that everything you and I do is affected by the nature from which it comes. And as far as God is concerned, the very direct statement is this. Man by nature misses the mark. He is not able to achieve the mark that God has set. It is as if to say, this is the target that God holds up. And there is not a man in the world
who has ever come near a bullseye? Because every one of them is a sinner. Every one of them strays from the mark by nature, not able to achieve the standard that God has decreed. I was giving cause to smile a little one time sitting at my computer. I have tried to write a little an article for a children's publication, and I wanted to see if it was at the level that perhaps children would be able to read and understand. I had a program that would write that for me, and it would check the grammar, and so I ran it through the program. And I came down to a little sentence that I put in toward the end of the article, and the sentence said, "You are a sinner, period. You are a sinner." To my amusement, the program put a little note beside that. It said, "This is offensive." If you find what I'm saying tonight offensive, could I tell you, this is God's message. We are not given the option of changing the message. Man stands before God, ruined his very nature. He is a sinner. But the Word of God not only uses the word sinner to describe what a man is, the Word of God uses the term unrighteous to describe what a man is. I take it that unrighteousness is describing man's acts. Man is not right in his acts toward others. You see, sin is looking at what man is very deep, at the very heart of his being. But man is unrighteous. Unjust is the same word that the New Testament uses. It is describing this truth, that as far as man is concerned, even in his relationships to others, he is not right. He does not stand right according to the standard that God has set. When God says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness," God is dealing with what is right relative to fellow man. And the very fact that men and women will tell untruths, will inquire untruths, is a commentary on their being unrighteous. They do not keep the standard that God has for man to man. If you were to be judged, now honestly, let's be forthright on this. If you were to be judged on the basis solely of your relationship to fellow man, you may find yourself excused and probably as good as others and able to explain things away. Could I tell you tonight that if you took your stand, your behavior, and measured it by God's standard, you will discover that what passes for normal, just a little cheated, just a little thought of wrong desire, just a little untruth, the corners of the truth shaved off ever so slightly to suit your shape, is what God describes as unjust, unrighteous, not right in the sight of a holy God. You will perhaps recall that Paul in Romans refers to this term on a number of occasions and says as well that the term ungodly describes man. I think that as I look in Romans, Paul is telling us that ungodly has to do with a man in his activity Godward. He has not conformed to what is in keeping with the very character of God. So that no matter how you look at man, a sinner by nature, not right with fellow men by his actions, not conforming to the character of God by what he is and what he has done, ungodly, those are terms that God uses to describe every member of the human family. But there is something about this term tonight, this word last, that gives us the whole weight of the effect of all of those other terms. I would like to impress on you tonight that as far as God is concerned, God describes every man and woman apart from Christ as lost. So totally has sin had its effect. So totally has sin warped the thinking of man.
so totally have sin blinded the eyes of men, so totally has sin sapped from men their native strength, that as far as God is concerned, man is totally ruined. All that man could be, he is not and cannot be. All that a man would attempt to do, he cannot attain, as far as God is concerned. As far as the Scripture reveals, man is totally lost. Like a sheep in Luke chapter 15 that cannot find its way home, man cannot find his way alone back to God. Like a coin that lies absolutely in disuse, helpless in the back in the home, so men lie helpless. Absolutely no use in their lives to God. The value that could be at last. And as that prodigal son that has wandered far away from his father, last, with absolutely nothing to meet his need, perishing, I am lost, says the boy with hunger. Or like the prodigal son's elder brother, who was on the outside and didn't know his own need. He did not understand how far his heart was from his father. He was lost. It is the description of man in the sight of God. And I would like to press upon the hearts of those in our present gospel meeting that God is describing you tonight as lost. As serious as that word can be, not one capability of attaining what you need at the present moment. Not one capability of figuring out this matter of salvation. Not the slightest capability of putting it all together. There are men and women, and perhaps through their circumstances in the wild, that they find themselves beginning to wonder, I wonder, am I lost? Surely I can't be lost now. I'm sure that mountain over... I'm sure that I came in that way, and they begin to figure their way all around. They may panic inwardly and think, I hope I'm not lost now. This would be terrible. But as long as they can figure some way out, as long as they have got some resource that's waiting, as long as there's some little trick they haven't tried yet, but it looks like we're getting just about desperate enough, we're going to have to try this as a last resource. Until they get to that point, they try it, and nothing works. And they find that they are absolutely incapable of finding their way out. Finally, they come to this conclusion, not that I might be lost. I am lost. And yet, you know, somehow or other, there's something in the human heart that just rebels against that I am lost, you know. I might be lost, but I think that if I try this, surely there's got to be some way. I remember when I was a boy in Philadelphia, where we lived at that time in New Brunswick. We were down visiting around New Year's time. We went to Horn and Hardart's restaurant, different kind of restaurant than I'd ever seen in New Brunswick, and people all over the place, and I had to get some help to find a restroom during the meal, and we had just left the restaurant, we're just leaving the restaurant, and my father said, I think it was his keys, but he left something back at the table. And like a bolt of lightning, helpful Sonny went right back to find the table and get the keys, and he'd be back in just a moment, but the problem was I couldn't find the table. And then I turned around to find my parents, and I couldn't find them. And I kept wandering around, and everywhere I went in the big restaurant, nothing was familiar until I finally saw the restroom where I at least had found that. And I went inside. I was almost like I collapsed inside in the room. And there was a man in there. And I said to him, Mister, I told him, I said, I'm from a long district away. My English wasn't the best. But I said, I've lost my parents. I don't know how to find them. I tried the last thing I could think of. Sure enough, he helped me. He found my parents. They were relieved and I was relieved. But, you know, just for that moment, there was a sense that came over me. I can't find my way back.
But I'll try one more thing. My friend, tonight, God is telling you you are lost. Not one more thing to try. Not some little effort that when you finally figure it out, it's going to work. Laugh! What a telling commentary that is! That is a result of what sin has done to the human heart. Sin has so blinded man, sin has so ruined man, that man, without any possible hope of self-recovery, he is lost. And all the religions of the world and all the universities of the world and all the attempts at self-help and all the rest will never change this sad fact. Man is lost, irrecoverable, by his own effort, by his own doing. But I want tonight to tell you as well that in this text we have a trustworthy commentary on the work of Christ. You wouldn't want to find a better authority on the work of Christ than Christ himself. Could I tell you tonight that this is what the Lord Jesus says? The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. If man cannot recover himself, if man is left with not one shred of hope that anything he may try or do or feel or think will ever recover him, it will slip degree to God. The Lord Jesus says, for the lost, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Could I tell you tonight that this text was not given to Zacchaeus up the tree? Zacchaeus was interested in being saved, and there are people still interested in being saved. But you see, that man had his own idea of how he was going to get to see the Lord Jesus. If he had had his idea fulfilled, I can tell you tonight, it would have been a sad disappointment. All he'd have done would have been gotten to look down at the Lord Jesus walking along the road, and he'd never gotten any blessing from him. You see, he had it all figured out his way, but the Lord Jesus stopped underneath the tree. And he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. We're not going about this thing your way. We're going to have this done as a result of responding to my word. If a man is willing to respond to the word of the Lord Jesus, then there's a message from the Lord Jesus for him. If a man or woman is willing just to think what the Lord Jesus says in our matter, we're a hope for lost sinners. And here's a lost man up the tree. He's working out this thing his own way. And the Lord Jesus says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And I love to note that it says he made haste. He came down. I know some people have been up the tree for years. So in the gospel meeting tonight, make haste and come down. Abandon your own way. Abandon your own idea. And listen to the word of the Lord Jesus. At the foot of the tree, the Lord Jesus says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Who but he would know what is needed to seek and to save that which was lost? Could I tell you tonight that Zacchaeus was not the man that determined what he needed? It was the Lord Jesus himself. It would require not only the Lord Jesus coming from heaven, being born in Bethlehem's manger. It would require the Lord Jesus not only stopping beneath the tree in Jericho and bidding Zacchaeus to make haste and come down. In order to seek and to save that which is lost, the Lord Jesus is going to hang upon a rugged tree himself. The Lord Jesus is going to go into the light as a sacrifice for sin. There is absolutely no other way for a sinner who is lost to be saved but by the Savior himself, who has completed all the work. He must come. He must suffer at Calvary. He must bear the weight of the sinner's sins. He must satisfy God on behalf of the sinner. You see, simply and clearly tonight, if the sinner is lost, God will never look at the sinner and say, listen now, just do the best thing and I'll be satisfied. God says, lost, there is absolutely no possibility of recovery from you. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. If this mission is going to be accomplished, then God will have to find all that He desires in order that the lost might be saved. And oh, let me tell you tonight, I wish I had language to fully convey to you that God has found all that His heart desires in Christ.
God has not simply decided, well, the Lord Jesus suffered a lot, and it was a noble effort, and really no one else could have suffered as He suffered, and I think I will have to just now gropingly open my heart and dispense a few blessings to a few sinners. Well, I want to tell you tonight that God has received so much, it was put to the Calvary, that God swings love into His heart to a world of men and women, and there's provision for God in that Christ to meet the need of a world of sinners. All that you need tonight has been fully provided for believers in the Savior who has brought infinite joy, infinite satisfaction to the heart of an infinitely holy God. When at Calvary He gave Himself a sacrifice for sin. We love the words of Hebrews chapter 10. Just a couple, 3 or 4 months ago now, a young man was sitting after a gospel meeting trying to figure out salvation out. We told him the Hebrews chapter 9 to point out to him from the Word of God that once in the end of the age hath He, Christ, appeared to put away sins. What did He come for? He said He came to put away sins. Well, when He came to put away sins, did he do sufficient to accomplish what He came for? I thought that text might be some help to him. Instead of that, he says, just somewhere there's sins and iniquities that I remember no more. I said, you're exactly right. It's just down the page in the next chapter. Because He came to put away sin and He accomplished all that was required. Now God turns to the sinner and says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Sometimes, you know, I don't finish telling my stories. I hope you know that that's the moment when that boy was saved. He just saw through the truth of the Word of God. That's what Christ came to do. He came to go to Calvary to put away sins. And God is satisfied with His work. And God says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Why? It's certainly not because the lost sinner has now done something that God has approved. He is lost and can do nothing. God approves the once-for-all offering of the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Nothing can be added to the value of His suffering and death. Nothing can be added to the value of what He has accomplished. Once in the end of the age hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Heaven's greatest mission has been to seek and save the lost. And the simple message of the gospel tonight is that heaven has accomplished its mission. The Lord Jesus did not go back to heaven and say, I hope that someone will take up finishing what I was not able to do. With glorious triumph, He alone was raised from the dead. And God declares to a world of men and women, He is the living Savior whose work is enough. And every soul that asks for nothing beyond the Christ who died at Calvary, God says, a lost sinner is saved. God has taken him to His own right hand. God is fully satisfied. The mission that He came to earth to accomplish, He has done completely. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What did He come to do? Did He do enough? Does God expect you to do anything to add to it? I want to tell you tonight, it's enough to see you just where you are, sitting on the seat tonight in this meeting. His own commentary on His own work is this. I have come to go to Calvary to pay the price. I have come to seek and to save
that which was lost. He has done the work. Salvation is available. And tonight, you can simply receive His word. He is telling me He came to seek and save the lost. I am lost. I cannot save myself. I can do nothing. He has come to do it all for me. And thank God for the great truth. It is finished. He has paid the price. Salvation is mine. All because Jesus was wounded for me. Let us pray. Our Father, we commit Thy Word to Thee and pray Thy blessing tonight as we have listened to solemn reminders from Thy Word of the terrible folly of turning away and turning from the God who is seeking and longs to bless perishing souls. We pray that tonight the Word of God might be used by the Spirit of God. The result of tonight's meeting might be some lost soul. We will see that what the Lord Jesus has done is all that is required. We pray that tonight there will be souls saved for eternity. God grant there may be none from our gathering who will turn tonight to say, let us alone. Oh God, what a solemn thing to think of all the love and grace of God to reach to perishing sinners, and that perishing sinners should turn away from the loving entreaty of the Savior and wander off into darkness and night for eternity. God grant it may not be so.